As I start this morning, I want you to grab your Bible or your device that has the Bible on it, and I want you just to kind of hold it in the air for a second. I want you to say something with me. John Osteen used to say something like this many years ago, and he would say it all the time. I want you to say this. Say, "This is my Bible." Come on, say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I am what it says I am. Now, do you believe what you just now said? You said you are what the Bible says you are. You can do what the Bible says you can do. I wanted us to make that confession right up front this morning. When you think of yourself, what do you think? Do you think of yourself in terms of what the Word says, in terms of what you feel, in terms of what other people say? How do you think about yourself? I saw a bumper sticker this week. It said this. It was a lady driving the car, and it said, "Warning, I'm out of estrogen, and I have a gun." What do you think about yourself? I mean, when you consider yourself, I mean, what do you think about? I heard of another bumper sticker. I saw it some time ago. It wasn't this week or anything, but it said, "All stressed out and no one to choke." Another one that I ran across one time said, "Don't be upset with me. I'm running out of places to hide the bodies." We need to think about ourselves in terms of what does the Word of God say about us. What does the Bible say? There's a passage of Scripture that Ryan, I'm sure, will put up here on the screen. It's out of John chapter 1, verse 22. One time they came to John the Baptist and they said, "Who are you? What do you say about you? What do you say about yourself?" And this is what he said. It says, "Then they said unto him, 'Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?'" What do you say about you? What do you say? John, he could have answered anything. He could have said, "I'm John, the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. I'm the one that was miraculously born because my mother was too old to give birth." He could have said, "I'm John the Baptizer. I mean, I'm out here preaching and baptizing." Or he could have said, "What do you mean, who am I? You know who I am." But he didn't say that. It's interesting. When they asked John, "What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." When they said, "John, what do you say about you?" What was his answer? His answer was from the Scripture. What John said about him was what God said about him. He refused to say about himself anything that the Scripture didn't say. He said, "I am what Isaiah said I am," and he spoke of himself in terms of what the Bible has to say about him. So I want you to notice something. When you and I think about ourselves, we need to learn how to think of ourselves according to what the Bible says about us. Well, what does the Bible say about you? So that becomes the question. What does the Bible say? Because if I can think the way the Bible says to think, then I'm going to be in good shape. See, the world is trying to make you think about yourself according to its definitions. The world will say, "You're this way because you're the second child. And all second children have this characteristic about their lives." Or the world will say, "Because your personality is sanguine, or because your personality is choleric, then you have these flaws and these limitations, and you really can't ever overcome them because that is the way," is how they say it, "God made you." That's what the world will tell you. They will tell you you're limited by your birth order. They'll tell you you're limited by your personality type. And I don't know how many studies have been done on personality types, but I know this one about the sanguine and the choleric and all that stuff. It was introduced into the world by Socrates, who was a very smart man, and there may be a lot to that, but Socrates preceded Jesus, and if that was a big deal, I'm thinking Jesus might have mentioned it. But he never did. Because the truth is, you're not limited to any of that stuff. You're not limited to your personality. You're not limited to your birth order. I mean, you know, well, and there may be characteristics that we have in our personality or that type of thing. But the reality is we're not limited by those things according to the Word of God. The church even tries to get in on the labeling process. Churches will say this to people. They say it all the time. Oh, you know, you're nothing but an old sinner saved by grace. Is that who you are? Are you an old sinner this morning? Is that what you think about you? Oh, our Father, we've already talked about this once. Oh, Father, we are but dust in your eyes. No, you're not but dust. You are more than that. The Bible declares of you something different than that. The Bible talks about you in terms that if we would understand and begin to think about that, we'd be a lot better. See, the religious world, and even the world itself, I mean, they're just full of baloney. They're just full of it. They're trying to feed you something that may or may not be what God has for you. And then what happens is you begin to take the very same stuff and you begin to feed it to yourself. It's kind of like the guy that was working in construction with another guy, and they sat down for lunch one day, and they're opening their lunch boxes, and the one guy opens his, and he goes, oh, look, I got whatever it was. And the other guy opens his and goes, oh, man, baloney. He said, I am so tired of baloney. I hate baloney. And every day it's the same old thing. Baloney, baloney, baloney. I'm tired of baloney. And the guy said, well, man, hey. If you're tired of baloney, why don't you ask your wife to fix you something else? He said, my wife, I make my own lunch. And yet many Christians' lives are filled with the baloney, the garbage the world is trying to put on them, because when the world says, what do you say about yourself, they start talking about themselves in terms of how the world talks about them, and are unaware of what God has said of them, unaware of what God has promised them. You and I have a different life altogether. What does the Bible say about you? Now, don't misinterpret what I just asked you. I did not say, what does your track record say about you? I did not say, what do your emotions say about you? What does the Bible say about you? See, we've been talking about this subject of grace. We've been talking about this subject for several weeks now about grace. Just the grace of God. Ryan, why don't you go ahead and put up that scripture out of John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 16 is what we've been looking at for several weeks now. But we've been talking about this for several weeks. John chapter 1 verse 16 is kind of the master text that we've been looking at for several weeks. And I just threw them off because I'm going way off the chart from my outline. Look what it says. It says, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Now, we've been talking about that for several weeks now, and when I ask you the question, what do you say about yourself, do you see yourself as a person who has already received a layer after layer after layer of grace? What, do you have it in the Amplified, Ryan? It says in the Amplified, it says it a whole better way, I think. In the Amplified, in John chapter 1, verse 16. It may take a second to get it on the board, because I went way off the chart what I was supposed to be doing this morning. Okay, let me just read it to you out of the Amplified. It says it this way in the Amplified. It says, for out of his fullness, his abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor. Now, we've been talking about this grace that we have, and that the Bible clearly indicates that there's more than just the grace that got you born again. There's more than just enough grace to get you to heaven. In fact, the church has missed the whole purpose of grace. Because what we're thinking that grace is limited to you being forgiven of your sin, which is grace. It's gracious, it's kind, merciful, and sweet that God would forgive you of your sins, but that is not what grace is limited to, nor is it the ultimate purpose of grace. The ultimate purpose of grace is that you and I would receive this layer after layer after layer of grace, because that's what John 1:16 is talking about, grace upon grace, gift heaped upon gift, favor upon favor, that's about us getting more grace, more grace, more grace, and more grace so that we can accomplish in this life what God put us here to do. Because what He called me to, what He called you to, is bigger than you are, and the only way you're going to get there is if He gets you there. That kind of makes me feel good. That means I don't have to be smart enough. I don't have to be talented enough. I don't have to be good enough. I just have to receive the grace. And I know this. If it took X grace to get me forgiven of my sin, it's going to take X plus more grace to get me to the next step. And X plus more grace to get me to the next step. But I can't hand God a bill for it. I just have to receive it. I'm not going to go to God and say, hey, man, you owe me some grace. I did this, now you owe it to me. No, no. It is this favor of God. We've talked about that the word grace is the Greek word charis. It is translated grace and favor. It literally means graciousness, and it means kindness, and it means sweetness. Out of God's sweetness, He delivered you from sin, not just your past sin, your current sin and your future sin. Do you realize it's already been paid for, all of it? Jesus is not going to come back and die another time. It's all done, the Bible says, one time for all time. So we have this grace. Now, we've been talking about it for several weeks, and you can go on our website, lifechurchlubbock.com, and you can click on the media tab, and then you can click on the sermon tab, and then you can hear the message that we've had. We started several weeks ago with one called Layers of Favor. And you can just begin to look at that. In fact, there's even a video that'll come on after church. It'll show you how to do that step by step. But the fact is, we've got to decide if this grace is real, and it is, if there's grace available for me to go to another place in God, if there's grace available, there's grace available for me to begin to think of myself in terms of what does the Bible say about me. You already declared today, I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I am what it says I am. And if you am what it says you am, what am you? What does it say you are? What does the Bible say? Let's start at something very basic this morning. Let's find, what does the Bible say? Grace is the key here. And this is where Christians get hung up all their lives because of what I'm getting ready to mention to you. Look in Romans chapter 5, verse 21. Romans chapter 5, verse 21. Let's see what the Bible says about us. The Bible says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. Nope, I'm sorry. I called you the wrong scripture. Verse 22, I'm sorry, Ryan. Let's go to verse 22 first. Romans chapter 5. If you'll find it, it says this. For he, this is where we're starting. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He hath made, this is Romans 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now we're going to get to that Romans 3:21 that he mentioned just a minute ago, that he put up there a second ago. But first of all, I want you to see, what does the Bible say? He hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, was that the Bible? I read it out of the Bible. If you have your Bible, you found out that it said that about who? Us, you and me. What does the Bible say about you? The Bible says about you that because Jesus was made to be sin for you, you were made to be the righteousness of God in him. Say out loud, I am the righteousness of God. Sometimes you talk to Christians and you get them to say that and they almost choke on those words because they've been taught all of their lives that we are butt dust in his sight. They've been taught all of their lives, All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, when I was in church every week, I heard that verse of Scripture, and I just decided that even though I was a Christian, that was being preached to Christians, that I must be a sinner, and I must be the rankest of sinners. Because all I heard was how sinful I am and how no good I am, and yet we just now read a verse of Scripture that says, if he became sin, I became righteous. It says, I have been made. I like the way it says it. It says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. How can that be? How can God consider me righteous? I have committed a lot of sin. I know you want to say amen because that's where you, that's what we've been taught. We've been taught because of our sin, we are but dust in the presence of God. How can he consider me righteous? How could God consider Jesus to be sin when he never sinned? In the very same way, he can consider me to be righteous when I haven't done right. It's a miracle. It takes God's power. I can already hear the wheels turning, but Pastor, if you keep talking about this stuff like this now, you're going to tell us that we can do anything we want to do and we'll be considered righteous. Well, let's hang in there for a few minutes today. Pastor, don't give people a license to sin. You don't have to give people a license to sin. They do it without the license. What does that mean? It says we have been made to be the righteousness of God in Christ. In the same way that Jesus became sin without having sinned, I became righteous without having done right. Jesus was treated like the worst sinner that ever lived. He died a cruel punishment on the cross. He went to hell. He suffered every degradation. He suffered every punishment that should have ever been laid on any man. Jesus was treated like the worst sinner ever. Hanging on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was treated like the worst sinner ever so that you could be treated like the most righteous ever. That should have made somebody shout amen. I'm just going to tell you right now, when God is looking at you, what his word says about you is that you are righteous. I do not come into the presence of my Father as a dirty, filthy, rotten, no good sinner because no sin can come in his presence. The only way I come is knowing that I have been made the righteousness of God in him. That ought to make you feel good right now. See, I have been made righteous by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet the church world continues to say, well, now, don't get too carried away. After all, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Really? Have you ever read the scripture before it and after it, the verses? Let's find out what those verses say. Let's find out what the context of that verse about you having sinned and come short of the glory of God really says. Ryan, can you put that up there at Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 21? Verse 22. Look what this says. Now look at this. This is the verse before that. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Now, wait a minute. Are we believers? Is the righteousness of God, has it come to you and upon you? The answer is yes, it has. That's what the Bible says. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. The righteousness of God that comes to us by faith. Now, there's a key phrase here. It is when I believe what the Bible says about me, and when I believe what it says about the forgiveness of my sin, when I believe what it says about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that righteousness has come to me and upon me. Say it again. I am the righteousness of God. Come on, say it. Is that what the Bible just said? Am I making it up? If you don't believe what Ryan put up there, look in your own Bible. I am the righteousness of God. It says, for there is no difference. Next verse. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wait a minute. It said, the righteousness of God has come upon all and to all that receive what Jesus has done by faith. It says, there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's what it just now said. It's not saying your butt dust. It is saying that every one of us, there's no difference. Everybody has sinned. There's no difference. Everybody who has received Jesus Christ by faith has now has the righteousness of God in them and upon them. Read the next verse. Look what it says. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I have already been justified. Did I earn it? No, it says by His grace. By His grace. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's for everybody. Everybody's done that. But all, it said, all who've received, all who've believed, all are now righteous by the act of what He did for us on the cross. When He became sin and you received Him, you no longer are considered a sinner. Whoa. But Pastor, I've been calling myself a sinner for 30 years. Stop it. Today, we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. But Pastor, I've sinned. Does that make you a sinner? But Pastor, I've lied. Does that make you a liar? See, a liar is a person who constantly lies and lives in the place of lies. The devil is a liar because everything he says is a lie. You may have lied, but that doesn't make you a liar. All have sinned. It came to us by the grace of God. We are now the righteousness of God by His grace. We have been justified. The word justified, you could interpret it this way. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. God doesn't look at you based on your performance. He looks at you based on the blood. Anybody believe what I just said? See, we have been justified. We have been made righteous by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been made righteous. Now, as I was praying this week, man, the Lord just spoke to me and He said something that kind of caught me by surprise. Listen to what He said to me. He said, sin cannot be overcome by acting righteous. He said, sin can only be overcome by being righteous. He said this. He said, you can't overcome sin by acting righteous any more than an ignoramus can overcome his ignorance by acting intelligent. The only way to be intelligent is to be intelligent. If you're ignorant, you're just ignorant. And the only thing you can do is change it. you and I, according to the Word of God, were at one time lost without God. We were under the curse, but we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, and the Bible calls that the new birth. Jesus said we had to be born again. When we were born again, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we became new creatures. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in the Amplified Bible, one of those verses says that we have regained favor or grace. We've regained the favor. We've regained the grace because we were born new creatures. I was a sinner. I'm not now because I was born a new creature. And when I was born a new creature, I became a child of God and not a child of the world. If I know that's what I am, then I will begin to act a different way. I don't overcome sin by acting righteous. I overcome sin by being righteous. And if I know that I am righteous, I will act the way righteous people act. I don't have to try anymore. I am the righteousness of God. What does a righteous person do? I do that. Have you ever had a friend? And they were just really intelligent. They were smart. And you go to your smart friend and you ask them a question. You know what they already think? They already think they know the answer to your question. Because they see themselves as a smart person. And do smart people make dumb decisions sometimes? Absolutely. Do kind people act mean sometimes? Absolutely. Do righteous people act unrighteously sometimes? Yes, they do. But when a kind person acts mean, does that make them not kind anymore? No, because they're kind. That's who they are. They're kind. They may have made this mistake here today, but they're kind. Smart people sometimes make dumb decisions. But when they make a dumb decision because of one decision, does that make them dumb? No, they're still a smart person. They just made a dumb decision. Righteous people are righteous because they were born into righteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I'm born righteous, I am righteous, and it doesn't matter anymore that the world may call me a sinner. I am righteous. Am I making sense to anybody in here? The devil has been slamming people over the head for generations and generations, telling them how sinful and no good they are, telling them they can't overcome this, they can't get past that, they can't do this, they can't do that, because he's trying to make them think that there's something they're not. He's trying to make Christians think that we are still sinners. We are now the righteousness of God in Christ. I don't act righteous because I have to. That's just what you do when you're righteous. Nobody has to tell you. You just do what is righteous. You see, sin is overcome by being righteous. You cannot do consistently what you are not. We are human beings, not human doings. I must be what the Bible says I am. I was born into his kingdom. It doesn't matter. Oh man, I don't want to say this so you think that it doesn't matter at all what you do. But what I do doesn't determine whether I'm righteous or not. What I am determines whether I'm righteous. And if I'm righteous, I will do righteousness. Amen. See, that's like way out there for most Christians because we've been taught that our righteous standing is based on our behavior. You will never enter the presence of God by going to him and saying, God, I've done this and this and this and this for you. You better go by the blood, the Bible says. And when you go by the blood, you stand in confidence in his presence. Contrarywise, when you recognize the blood, it will take care of those acts of unrighteousness that you've done. But it will change your whole behavior. It will change all of your life because of the righteousness of God. See, once we see ourselves as righteous, we will begin to act righteously. Look with me. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Look what this says. I better get to Romans, not John. Romans chapter 6. Look what this says. This is where Christians, they just are beat up. I mean, the devil beats them up all the time because they don't understand who they are in Christ. See, already the devil's reminded you multiple times today of your sin, hasn't he? As I keep calling you righteous, as you keep calling yourself righteous, I know his voice. He's coming and saying, no, you're not. No, you're not. Remember last month? Remember last year? Remember 3 years ago? Remember 20 years ago? And he's reminding you of your sin, isn't he? Might as well say amen because I know he is. He's telling you how unrighteous you are and how that what I'm saying this morning cannot be true. But it is. Listen to this. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? See, we've been talking about it. It's what you are. And it came by grace. And so Christians automatically think, okay. If I can get grace, then I can continue to sin and it won't matter. It does matter. It just said it matters. He said, what should we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The first two words of the next verse says, God forbid. Says, God, it's not going to happen that way. God forbid. Now look at this. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The Bible declares, when you got born again, the old man died. He's done. He's dead. And do you know what I found out about dead people? They don't sin. They simply don't sin. I've never heard, and I've done many, 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 many going home services in my life, and I've never heard one person in the casket, I've never heard them utter a single cuss word. They do not sin because now they are dead to a whole system of sin. The Bible says that when you got born again, that you became dead to sin. The problem is the devil has been telling you you're not dead to sin. He's been telling you that you're alive to sin and that if you will just hang on there till Jesus gets back, somehow you'll be delivered from it. Yeah, well, Pastor, in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul talks about, oh, wretched man that I am. Well, you got to read chapter 7 with chapter 8 when he says that I've been delivered from the law of sin and death, and now I live in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He's not, chapter 7 is not fatalistic where Paul says you can't be free. Verse 7 is connected to chapter 7 is connected to chapter 8, which gives you the answer that says, I am already free. He says, you know what? God forbid. I mean, God doesn't want us. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We're dead to it. It's dead to me. I'm dead to it. Sin is dead. Look what it says in verse 7. It says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Are you free or not? What did it say? It said you are. Well, let me back up. Let's make sure it's you he's talking to. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, verse 7, 6, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. The Bible here says, you are dead to the old man. You are now alive and living in the power of his resurrection, and you are dead to sin. that ought to make you just want to shout everywhere. What I'm saying is this: there is no sin that hasn't been overcome. You've already been made to be the righteousness of God. If you fill your mind, fill your heart, fill yourself with what God said about you, you can change the way you think about you. Verse 8 says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. I mean, this isn't talking about heaven. This is talking about right now. When did we die with Him? It said we died with Him when He died. When were we raised with Him? We were raised with Him when He was raised. And it says that we should now live this resurrected life. We live now in the power of the resurrection. The old man is already dead. Oh, man, this is so much fun. Verse 11, likewise, reckon ye yourself. Paul had to be a Texan. Reckon yourself. Reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, you know what? You just need to go ahead and reckon it. You need to go ahead and tell yourself you are dead to the sin. Go ahead and reckon it. Go ahead and consider it. Go ahead and weigh that one out. You are now dead to sin. When the devil comes and says, no, you way alive to sin. Here, smoke this, drink this, taste this, do that, hurt that, do that. No, I'm dead to that. The Bible says I live in resurrected power. I love something a whole lot more than I love my sin. I am right now the righteousness of God in Christ. He says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, that your members and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. What did it say? It shall not have the rule. It shall not have dominion over me. It says, for you are not under law, but under what? Grace. This is a layer of grace that Christians need to grab hold of. We are right now the righteousness of God. We are right now in favor with God. God, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is not imputing your sins against you. You know what that means? He's not up in heaven taking an inventory of all your sins. We talked Wednesday night about eternal judgment and that we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's not a judgment for sinners. It's a judgment for the righteous, where God will hand out rewards to the righteous. He's not up in heaven writing down all your sins. He's not up in heaven saying, oh, yeah, well, Randy, last night, oh, brother, just write that one out. He's not doing it. Because once I recognize the righteousness of God, I acknowledge what the Word says, looking in it. I acknowledge that wasn't righteous on my part. The Bible says He doesn't even remember it again. He forgot it because I received His righteousness that's already paid for one time for all time. You are the righteousness of God. When? Now. When did that happen? When you got born again, you became the righteousness of God. You can only be what you are if in your mind and in your thinking you are still thinking you are a dirty, rotten sinner. You're not thinking right yet. And that's why the Bible says we've got to renew our mind with the Word of God, receiving the grace that delivered us. You see, the Bible says, man, if we're dead to sin, does that mean we keep sinning so grace can abound? God forbid, because that's not who you are. You are the righteousness of God. Righteous people act righteously because they're righteous. Amen? Sinners sin. Why? Because they're sinners. But every now and then, a sinner can do something right. But apart from the new birth, they're still a sinner. Righteous people sin sometimes. But that doesn't make them sinners because of the new birth. They are born again as different people. Here's what the church has tried to do for generations. We've tried to bring people in, get them born again. I mean, they're thoroughbreds. I mean, they are everything that God wanted them to be. Well, man, God put in them the DNA of a champion. God put in them the DNA of an overcomer. God put in them, spiritually speaking, the DNA of a person who has total victory through Jesus Christ. He put that in them. They come to church, and then the church says, okay, now you've been born again. Now we're going to treat you and tell you that you're nothing but a jackass. And we've tried to treat them like they're still jackasses, like they still have the stubbornness. And pretty soon, they learned that behavior, even though they were born thoroughbreds. And then in that case, people can come to church, and they can never get the new birth. And they can go ahead and act like donkeys and mules and jackasses. They can act like all that stuff, and nobody knows the difference. And then go to church for years and years and never know they need to be born again. Because they're all the same. Thoroughbreds run faster than donkeys. Thoroughbreds aren't stubborn like donkeys. Thoroughbreds, I mean, they walk different, they look different, they hold their heads different. They are different animals. You have been born again. You're no longer of the world. Jesus said, they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. He said, we're not defined by their system any longer. Today, I want you to receive another layer of grace. You are right now, if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you are right now the righteousness of God. Not going to be, you are right now. You've got to fill your mind with what I just said over and over and over and over, because the devil is going to remind you, beginning now, because that's his assignment, to tell you you are not, you are not, you are not. You've tried, you've tried, you've tried, and that's the problem. You can't try. You must be the righteousness of God. Just be that. Amen? Just seek the Lord for just 1 second here. Father, we want to come against that spirit that's been lying to your people for so long and telling them that there's no way they can ever make it. That spirit that's telling them that they're just filthy, dirty, rotten, no good sinners. That spirit that would lie to them and put them down again and again and again, when you have emphatically said, we are now the righteousness of God in Christ. When you have said, in the context of the verse, even though all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the context of the verse was everybody has access to righteousness. We're all the same. And that we can receive this gift of righteousness. Father, I pray for people and their minds that those thoughts can be overcome right now in Jesus' name. Say it again. I am the righteousness of God. Say it again. I am the righteousness of God. Say it like this, I am the righteousness of God. Say it like this, I am the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God right now. Just begin to thank Him for it. I didn't tell you to think about the sin you committed yesterday. Think about who you are in Christ. Think about the righteousness of God. Now, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus, that's your first step here. You're going to have to get that in your heart. You're going to have to become a born-again child of God so that righteousness is yours by faith in what the blood of Jesus has done. Father, I thank you today for righteousness that is ours by faith in Jesus' name.